Okay, we'll pick up the next midrash, Maimer Beis. Parshat Sadivov, Maimer Beis. Now here it starts, as we know, we spoke about yesterday that Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim for 17 years, and we spoke about why the Parsha is a susuma, why Vayigash ends and right into Vayichi with no empty spaces in between. Then the next pasuk is Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael Lamus. And the days of Yisrael, of Yaakov, are coming close to die. Now, the wording is of the pasuk is a little bit strange, the Yefei Tohar points out. What does it mean, you only die in one day? What do you mean, the days to die? So you could say it means that it was at that time that maybe he'll go today, maybe he'll go tomorrow, maybe he'll expire in a week, but his days are numbered. You could have said it like that in English, his days were numbered, but that's not Lashon HaKodesh. In Lashon HaKodesh, you wouldn't say his days are closer to death. What you'll say is that his days are full, Vayimlu Yomov, his life is full to die. That's how the Yefei Tohar asks it. And he brings a pasuk that it says, Ki Yimlu Yomecha, in Shmuel Beis, you have such a pasuk. So it could have, so that's Yimlu Yomecha, your days are full, and then Lamus, you're going to die. But if you're going to say that his time is closing, it should have been the day is close to die. That's not plural. That's Vayikrav Yom Yisrael Lamus. The day of Yisrael to die is there. So that's the question that we're going to deal with what we're going to see here. And what we're going to see is that the days of Yisrael means the days of that are going to come in the next world. That's at least how Yefei Tohar looks at it in his introduction. But let's see what it says here. Ksiv, it says a pasuk, Ki ger anochi imach toshav kechol avosai, it says. I am a ger, I am a stranger with you, but then I'm a toshav like my fathers were. In other words, I'm going to dwell permanently. Now, some of the forms of this midrash take out this posik. Ketzel yomenu al ha'aretz ve'ein mikveh. The second posik. Gerim anachnu lefanecha. We are gerim before you. We are like strangers. And ketzel yomenu al ha'aretz ve'ein mikveh. There is, our days are on the world like shade, and there is no hope. So the days coming closer are what days? I don't know yet. He says, Halavai, Halavai, that our life, which is like a shade, there are different types of shadows and shade. Some are here, some shadows are cast longer than others. So the Midrash says, Halavai, we should even be able to claim that our life in the world is katsilo shel kosel, is like the shade of a wall, or katsilo shel ilan, like the shade of a tree. But it isn't, Ella, it's very little. Katsilo shel of, it's like the shade of a bird, bishashu of, when it flies. Not much of a shade. Dichsiv, it says katsel over, like a fleeting, like a passing shade. Ve'ein mikveh, there's no hope. What does that mean? No one is going to beat the Malach HaMavis. Ve'ein mishe yikaveh shelo lomus. There's no one who has hope that they won't die. Hakol yodim v'oimrim befihim shehim esim. Everyone knows and says with their mouths that they're going to die. Now, that is a fact. If I read this literally, as I just did, that's a fact of life. Everyone knows that we all got to go sometime, right? Whatever way you express it, but everyone expresses it in those terms that we're not here forever. So But the Midrash is going to give proofs from the Ovis that the Ovis said it. Now, what is that going to add? So, I don't know yet. Let's first see the Midrash, and then maybe we'll talk about what it means. That's a tefillah from David HaMelech. Yeah. Okay. So, everybody knows and even says openly that they're going to die. Now he's going to, is he bringing a proof? We'll find out. Avraham, Omar Avraham Avinu said, V'anoichi hoy lechariri, I am going without children. So to him, that meant he's going to die without children, the way things seemed at that time. When he was about 70 years old, that's by Bris Ben Abasarim, I assume. So Avraham Avinu was 70, although here the Marzav says he was 75. On the side, I once commented that based on Tosfos and on the Seder Olam, he was 70. Then Yitzchak Omar, Va'avarechachol lefnei Hashem lefnei Mosi, I will bless you before God before I die. That's what Yitzchak had in mind, to give a blessing to Esav, and it came out, he gave it to Yaakov. But he was talking in terms of death. Af, and then Af Yaakov Omar, so here also in our Pasuk, Yaakov also says, Vishochafti im avosai, I will be laid to rest with my patriarchs, with my forefathers. So Amosai, when is that? Now the Midrash is saying Bishashanat Olamus, when he's about to die. Yeah. Now, the obvious question over here is, what do you need a proof that the Ovis all said, I'm going to die? I mean, bringing that, we all say it. Everybody says it. Hakol Yoidim. So what is he bringing from Avraham Avinu and from Yitzchak and from Yaakov? So I once wanted to say a pshat. We'll see if I'll stick to that now. But there's a paradox in life, and not only in life, among tzaddikim. On one hand, they say, we don't want Olam Hazeh, not the Iker. They even find Olam Hazeh somewhat unattractive. That's on one way. Olam Hazeh is not the Iker. Olam Haba is, Olam Hazeh is only a way of getting to Olam Haba. And they don't see any great love for life in this world. That's on one hand. That's the way they sound in principle. The other hand is, everyone values life. Everyone holds on to life. When life is our life is threatening to leave us, some people, and maybe tzaddikim even more strongly than others, hold on to life. And they say life is so dear, every moment means something. It's like in davening every day, in Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis, you say, Ma betza bedami beridti el shachas. What money or what gain is there with my blood that I'm going to go down to shachas, to the grave? Because we say, Hayoidcha Ofar, is the earth going to praise you? Is the earth going to express gratitude to you? Hayagid Amitecha, will the earth tell the truth of you? We say that every day. So on one hand, we say, we have great purpose being in this world and staying here. On the other hand, we say, no, well, what's Olam Hazeh? It's nothing. Olam Haba is the Iker. It doesn't seem like anybody's jumping to get to Olam Haba. So there's a bit of a paradox there. We also know the famous story before the Vilna Goin passed away, that he was clutching onto his tzitzis in bed, and they asked him why. So he said that the tzitzis is something that is relatively inexpensive, and it's shkula keneged kol mitzvahs. It equals all of the mitzvahs. And he says, in this world, I'm holding on to it and appreciating it while I have it. Because in that world, you can't buy even one mitzvah, no matter how much money there is. Here I have tzitzis, which is keneged the whole Torah, for a por kopik lach, for some kopiks, a as the coin was at that time. So what the Midrash is saying is that the Ovis, on one hand, they utilized every moment in this world for mitzvahs, but everything was a preparation for the next world. The more you get out of this world, the more you have a preparation for the next world. So what it's saying is, yeah, everybody knows and says that we're going to die. We all know that that's our end, and there's no way to hope that we will live. But the Ovis, each one of them, left a legacy. They were concerned, what will be after death? Avram says, I'm going to go Ariri, meaning I'm going to die in this world. What will I leave what will I leave over after I go? Yitzchak also, before I die, I want to bless you. That way, my influence remains on in this world. Which also, if we want to go further, we know even in basic Kabbalah that the Sechusim of the next generations help to constantly uplift the Neshama in the other worlds, in the higher worlds, when it's in Gan Eden or eventually for Olam Haba. So Avram Avinu is preparing himself knowing that he's going to die, but his purpose is not only the next world, what he's leaving over in this world that will give him benefit in the next world. The same with Yitzchak. Now even Yaakov said, Vishachafti yimavosai, that I'm going to lay with my fathers. And when did he say that? At a time that he was notalomus, when he was tilted over to die. He was almost ready to die. And then that was a time that he made himself. And that's really the proof over here is the days of Yisrael to die are coming, but it means his days of eternity are coming, and then Lomos, then is the time to die. That's, I think, how the Yefei Tohar would have explained the Midrash here. That's one lesson, value each day, but prepare each day for ultimate. As much as we value each day and try to get the most out of each day, but it's for the purpose of what comes after today. Yeah. Yeah, he has an interesting thing here, the Yefei Tohar, that he says that death, he's going to show why we need to bring sources from each of the Ovis. So he says there are three reasons for death in the world. One of them, he says, is to make room for the next generation. There's time that we have to set aside and leave things for the next generation. He brings the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that Bo v'nachzik tova l'avoseinu, we should come and feel gratitude to our forefathers. Shel moleihem anu ki'ilu loy banu loylam. If not for them, it would be as if we never came to the world. So that's Avraham Avinu who said, well, I'm going Ariri. So he says, so he says, but what am I going to die? No one will take over for me. So the Yom HaMisa is what he was looking at. The second reason is, so we need to be survived by others. This time we have to make space for others. The second reason is that, especially with Tzadikim, and all of us, we're always challenged with the Yetzer Hara. Tzadikim have death, is a different midrash. death was decreed on tzaddikim because all of the time that they're alive, they're battling with their yetzer hara. So that's Yitzchak. Yitzchak was blind. He had affliction. He was suffering. He didn't have a yetzer hara anymore. So Hashem called, said Elokei Yitzchak, even in the lifetime of Yitzchak. And still he understood that he's going to die, even though he had no yetzer hara. The third reason is because dying is, we suffer in this world, and dying separates us from our suffering because of the harm. Ki mipnei hara nesafat tzaddik is written in Navi, that because of bad things, the tzaddik dies, which sometimes means he won't see the bad that comes later. Here he's learning it to mean he won't suffer as much. It was gone. There was nothing for him to be challenged. He probably conquered it, yes. But even without that, the Yetzer Hara always has a way to come back. But not with Yitzchak. He was blind and ill. There was nothing to come back to. So anyway, the third reason is that death is there is to separate us from the sufferings of this world. So that the Yifei Toyar says is Yaakov, that even though he was having a better life now, like we spoke about yesterday, even there he said, Vishachafti Yimavoy, say that I'm going to die. And he saw his death before his eyes. So according to that, we have to know that there's never a hope for someone not to die, even if he doesn't see the three imminent reasons to die, but he still has to assume that he's gonna die. Okay. Now we go again in Gimel. We have time? Yeah, we do have time. Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael, the days of Yaakov are coming to die. I assume that we have the same question over here. What is the Yemei Yisrael? That's written, the days of the day of death is one day. And why is it not Vayimlu Yemei Yisrael? His time is fulfilled. So Ksiv, it says a posuk, Ein Odom Sholit Beruach Lichlo Es Haruach. A person is not in control of his spirit in order to restrain his spirit. Ve'ein Yisroin Shilton B'yim Hamavis. And there is no ruling on the day of death. No one is a boss on the day of death. Now, what is the point over here? So Rabbi Yeshua de Saknin says in the name of Reb Levi, B'shem Reb Levi, Chatzotzros She'osa Moshe Bamidbar, when Moshe Rabbeinu made trumpets in the desert shortly before he was going to bend over and die, Ginosom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem hid them, Shelo Yehei Acher Tokeya Bohem Vehem Bohem Etzlo. No one should be able to have a situation that he'll blow the trumpets and people will follow him, the way it was with Moshe. D'chsiv, as it says, Hakilu Elias kol ziknei shivteichem, gather, congregate unto me all the elders of your tribes. L'kayim mashenem arvein shilton b'yim hamavis. That fulfills what's written, that there is no dominion on the time of death. Now what's the point over here that he's bringing with Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Yefei Toar explains what it means is like this. When Moshe was before death and he wanted to gather the nation together, Hakilu Eli, he should not be able to do it through the trumpets as he normally did. Why? Because Ein Shilton B'yim Hamavis, on the day of death, there is no rulership. You don't act like a ruler on the day that you're going to die. Because the chatzotzros are for the king, and they show dominion, they show control. When you're dying, you are no longer in control. So that's why he says here that you're not in control of the ruach at that time, and at the time of death, there is no dominion. So that's all about Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Midrash, as we know, very often will bring a pasuk. Eventually it will connect it to the Parsha, but it will tell us other applications to the pasuk via Midrash that are not relevant to the Parsha. That's normal in Midrash. So that brings us to another case. Dover Acher. Another interpretation. What does it mean? Ein Shiltoin b'yom hamavis mekontrolirt nish dem tog fin misa, dem tog fin toit. There's no controlling in the day of death. Kisha osa zimri osa maisa. Now we're going back a little bit also. When in the desert, Zimri, the prince of Shimon, did an inappropriate act of licentiousness, that he took the woman Cosby Bas Tzur, who was not Jewish, she was a Midianite woman, and the daughter of one of their chieftains, and he had intimacy with her. So what happened then? Maksiv Shom, what's written there? That one person rose and challenged him and killed him, and that was Pinchas. It says, Vayovo Achar Ish Yisrael El Hakuba, that Pinchas took the spear, the Romach, and he went after this Jewish man to the cubicle. The question is, and there are Gemaras that deal with this, but we'll see what the Midrash says. The Gemara deals with the question that comes up here. Veheichon hoya Moshe uPinchas medaber lifnei Moshe. Where's Moshe Rabbeinu here? Pinchas is speaking, or more than speaking, he's leading, he's acting, even though Moshe's around. I mean, so the Gemara talks about this, and the Gemara says that Pinchas went to Moshe and he told him, well, didn't you teach us Kanoim Poigimboy, that when a person pulls this type of an action in public, those who are truly inwardly zealous go and confront or even kill the person? So Moshe Rabbeinu told him, Man deboy limikraina igarta iu lehevi parvanka. That's the Lashon HaGemara. Rashi brings it in Chumash also. It's in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Gimel. That if a person wants to read the letter, or he wants the letter read, he should go and do it himself. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you have this zealousy, you go do it. Now we'll see if the Midrash is going there, but that's in the Gemara. But in the meantime, all I know is the Kasha. The question, we happen to know the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Rashi and Chumash brings it also. But in the meantime, the Midrash here is posing the question. When Pinchas rose to action and did what he did, where was Moshe Rabbeinu? Where do you go? You're under Moshe Rabbeinu, to say the least, and you go and you pull off what you pull. So, Eloh, what happened was, Lekayim, this is another way of fulfilling, Ve'ein Shilton B'yem Amovis, on a day of death, you're not a ruler. Now, what does that mean here? Moshe didn't die on that day. What's the Yom HaMavis? So he says, Vein Mavis Ela L'Shein Hashpola. Death does not always mean le mort, as we say in French, but it means Hashpola, being lowered, demoted, humbling oneself. Nitna HaYeshua L'Finchas V'Hishpilas Moshe. The salvation was given to Pinchas, and therefore, he made Moshe lower. Not that he did. Now in Midrash Tanchuma, it says Moshe humbled himself. So I once commented that both things are here. On one hand, Moshe had humility, in which he was entirely humble to God. And when he saw that Pinchas was the one who was able to have the salvation, so then he lowered himself also. So the Yeshua that Pinchas was given to supply to the Jews lowered Moshe as well. So at certain times when one person will rise, even without any bad intentions, then another one is going to fall, is going to be a little bit lowered or demoted.
So Pinchas knew that Moshe was demoted?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's right. He knew that he's the one who has to do it, which could go into the Gemara that we said. Maybe this doesn't contradict the Gemara at all. That once Moshe saw that Pinchas was burning to do something, and he told him what we said from the Gemara before, then he understood this is Pinchas' moment, but not mine. Yes?
And this is just in old age. This isn't the day of death?
This is what comes out right now. That Misa is L'shein Hashpol, it's lowering. So Moshe at this point was demoted, so to speak.
No, but my question was, it wasn't Moshe's day of death.
No, it for sure wasn't. For sure not. And that's why the Midrash has to say that death here means a lashon, a language of lowering oneself. It's not just like death is. The truth is, any step going downward is a step of that can be called part of dying. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, even the first parak, refers to damages as a beginning process of death. Yes. It's months before. I don't know yet. Because what I said, we'll see as we go along in the Midrash what the point is. But sometimes the Pasuk is brought about unrelated things, and then we come back, and in this case, the related topic would be Yaakov. So we have to give it a chance and see what the Midrash will say. Well, that's kosher cheating. Vaf David, and also by David Hamelech, Ksiv Bo, it says by David, Vahamelech David Zakein, that the king David was old, and that was before he was going to die, and he had to make sure that he'd have a successor. Vachevan Shenat Alamus, once he was sort of tilted over to die, Maksiv Boy, what does it say? Vayikrevu Yemei Hamelech David, that the days of the King David were coming closer. Ein kesiv kan. It doesn't say the days of the king. Ela, it says, Vayikrevu Yemei David, the days of David. But it doesn't refer to him in that posuk as the king. It only says the days of David, not the days of the King David. Why is that? Because when we are on the road to death or to a demotion, ein shilton b'yem amavis, at that time when we're going, unfortunately, a little bit downhill, we are not rulers, we are not dubbed king at that time. So now we're going to all cheat now, as you put it before, and we're going to see the application of this concept to Yaakov Avinu. We've shown other precedents of this application, and now we're going to show it by Yaakov. V'yaf Yaakov, also Yaakov Avinu is the Zelbegezach, the same thing. Kevan Shenatalomus, once he saw that he's going to die, Hischil Mashpil Atzmo, he began to humble himself Lifnei Yosef, before Yosef. And he said, V'omar, he says, V'omar Lon, he said to Yosef, Im no matzasi chen be'enecha. If please or if now, no can either mean please or now. If now or if please, I have found grace in your eyes. So Amosai, when is he speaking, Im no matzasi chen be'enecha? This is his son, and he's not kind of like, for lack of a better term, I don't mean it literally, he's not bossing him around. So he's humbling himself. So when is that? Because Korav Lemisa, he's near death. Shenemar, as it says, Vayikruv Yimei Yisrael Lomos, that the days of Yisrael came close to his death. So he's also humbling himself at this time. Now, Now, what I would say over here is that you have a question. Actually, the Rashash here points it out. Now, Yaakov might have spoken like that to Yosef for a different reason, not because of death. The Gemara in Megillah explains that at one point, it's coming up in the Psukim, Yaakov bows to Yosef. How does a father bow to his son? So the Gemara says, and Rashi in Chumash quotes it in the words of the Gemara, it's a Gemara toward the end of the first chapter of Megillah, Taila be'itne sagidle, a fox, which is a way of talking about a ruler, when it's his time, when he's up in control, sagidle, you bow down to him. So that, if you go with that explanation, maybe Yaakov over here is also speaking with, in a humble way, to Yosef, because Yosef is a king right now. And because of Kovid HaMalchus, he has to show him honor. But so it could be the Gemara in Megillah disagrees with the take that this Midrash is going with, which is the Rashash suggests that, and he wants to maybe say, the Midrash says that Yaakov bowed, Yaakov did bow. So why did he bow? How do you explain it if not the way that the Gemara in Megillah says that to a king and in his time you bow to him? How will our Midrash explain that? That would explain why Yaakov humbled himself before Yosef. But if I say from here, Yaakov humbled himself before Yosef, what was he bowing for? So some say he was bowing because, the Rashash suggests, maybe because he was ill. Yaakov was ill and the Shekhinah was above his bed. When a person is deathly ill, the Shekhinah is there. So that was the reason of the bowing. So that could be the reason of the bowing. Okay. Yeah, I think it's time now.